Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Amen. Aren't you glad you're in the house of the Lord? Amen. I feel that I am indebted to this church for your kindness and happy to be here tonight. Amen. You all saved me an expensive Italian dinner tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. So... He won't tell her I said that. She's grown to expect it. Amen. But glad to be here and thankful for the blessings of God, God's hand keeping us. I was just sitting here wondering, for those of you that's been following closely along, I wonder how many of you probably came to church tonight wondering, well, what do we do now? Which way do we go now? What's he going to do now? What little rabbits he have left in that magic hat now? Amen. Praise the Lord. But there's always more. God always has certain direction. Amen. We left here Sunday night. And you know what? It's hard to drive all night long, and especially after you've preached twice. And I didn't even get a Sunday afternoon nap. And so I drank enough coffee and Red Bull and espresso and Mountain Dew and all that, but by the time we did get home, and the time we did get unpacked, the time I did get ready for bed, I couldn't go sleep. that's too wired. So got a few hours of sleep, and me and Mr. Kip, we went to the church to pray. They have church prayer at noon there at home, and began to pray, and you know what? I wish it was always like this. It's not always like this. But I felt the Lord begin to deal with me about this church and direction and my role here for the next service or two. Amen. And so it's just us here tonight. You know, the Bible says no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw. And I just believe that when the church is right where it needs to be with God, that God knows when to send people in that are hungry for God. And so until that time, amen, we obviously don't preach to people that are not here. And that don't mean you don't stop casting seed and inviting people. But when the time is right, when it's the time of harvest, I believe people will come. And so between now and then, we sow the seed, but we keep praying for God's wisdom and God's direction, amen, that God get the church ready. I'm going to tell you what, a healthy mother with a healthy relationship is going to have babies. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I'm not concerned the least bit, but I do believe that the Lord would talk to us. Amen. I did wake up Monday with hardly any voice and chest congestion. I said, you know, I had the most wonderful chicken noodle soup that's supposed to make you healed from all your ailments. I'm the only person that could eat chicken noodle soup and then get sick. I've never gotten things right in my life. I didn't take it home with me. Amen. But amen. So I pray you'll just excuse this old rough voice. I have not been smoking, I promise you, but it does probably sound like I've been smoking a few packs a day. Amen. But I want to talk to us tonight. Something that's very, very serious to me. I don't feel worthy to talk on this. But what I want to talk about tonight, there are no great churches unless they have what I want to talk about tonight. There are no great revivals. There's no one that is mightily used of God without what I want to talk about tonight. And I really felt like the Lord impressed me Monday that this is where this church is at tonight. And so we won't be doing a lot of hooping and hollering and running and all that, but I think the Holy Ghost wants to really impress something on us tonight. And we, He wants us to hear the word and catch the spirit of the word tonight. Amen. I invite you to stand with me, the book of Exodus, chapter number 32. Exodus 32, verse number 9. Glad Sister Reed's feeling better tonight. I'd hate to know that we had to sing a cappella. Exodus 32 and 9. While you're turning there, anybody hear about the school shooting in Florida today? You know, I don't know if it's here, but we're going to live in a day when little children are scared to walk into a classroom. It wasn't long after that Las Vegas shooting that my wife and I, we were at an outdoor gospel concert that our home church actually put on. It was outdoor and there was a bridge. And I felt myself looking, honest to God, I said, okay, if somebody shoots from that angle, I was finding an escape route already. That's the world that we live in. And people are living in total, complete fear. Now, sad as that is, all that's got to do is it's got to help the cause of God. Somewhere people, it's that chaos we talked about, more of that chaos. But I'm telling you, God thrives in times of chaos. And in a world of instability, something's got to be stable. Does that make sense tonight? Listen, if we have a bunch of problems and we're unstable and the word gets out in this community, we might as well shut the doors down because we can't help anybody. In a world of chaos and instability, we've got to be the rock. We've got to be the lighthouse. We've got to be something that the world can look at and say, I may not be right, but at least I know where I can go get right at. Those people have got it going on. We've got to have a good name, church. Well, that's worth the offering right there. All right. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out and slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fear. This is man talking to God. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. In other words, and God did what Moses said to do. Now, some people might say, I wonder why God didn't get offended there. Part of me thinks God had to be saying, that's what I want to hear out of a man. Amen. Chapter 22 of Ezekiel and one verse of Scripture, verse number 30, Ezekiel 22 and 30. Ezekiel 22 and 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Amen. For a few moments tonight, I want to talk to you from this subject, simply no intercessor. No intercessor. I know you're standing. We're going to pray. I just want to tell you, this afternoon, I've stayed in my fair share of hotels. In fact, I believe I was talking to your pastor along these lines the other day. But it happened again today. When I stepped into the hotel, the lady that come out by the counter obviously was the manager. She's dressed differently. She acted differently. Very professional, very nice. And I got my little cart and went to the car and got all my suits and stuff out. And as I was coming back in the double door, she come around the corner, and she was talking to me, and she walked ahead of me to the elevator and pushed the button and held the door open for me to walk in. In all of my years of travel, I've never had an employee do that for me. That's the difference between an $8 an hour college brat that won't even have to look at you when you walk in, and somebody whose paycheck is determined on the success of this business entity. Somewhere you've got to go from having a waiter mentality to a restaurant owner mentality. That, you know what, to a little $8 an hour kid, it doesn't matter if they shut the doors. I'll go work for McDonald's. I'll go to Sonic. I'll go somewhere else. But somebody says, no, I'm not going to be that kind of employee. I'm going to help take ownership of this thing. And it's time for some 30-fold saints to step up to the 60-fold saint realm. And 60 stepped up to the 100. In other words, quit saying, well, it really doesn't matter how this thing goes, and start saying, yes, it does matter. And I'm not going to take his place, but bless God, I'm going to help share the burden around here. And we're going to push together as if this it matters to me as much as it does to anybody else. Let's pray. Ask for the Holy Ghost to talk to our hearts tonight. Would you lift your voice? Jesus, we love you. God, I trust you. I trust, God, your word. Asking you, God, for that anointing, that physical touch, God. I pray to anoint the ears, the hearts, the minds of your people to hear. Receive the word of the Lord, God. Let us catch the word. Feel the spirit of it tonight, God. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I read to you the very familiar story of Moses interceding for Israel. God has been giving Moses the law on the top of Mount Sinai. The people are weary with waiting. They begin to dance around a golden calf and begin to worship it. You know, Israel never could handle gold. Just thought I'd throw that in there tonight. Amen. Man really has never been able to handle gold. Amen. That's why we don't wear it. Amen. But God's judgment is proclaimed in verse number 10. God says to leave him alone, that he's going to take care of a people. He's going to consume them. They are a stiff-necked people. And in verse number 11, our scripture reading, we see where Moses begins to make intercession for them. And verse 14 again, God listened to the request of a mortal man. Amen. I'd like to have that kind of a walk with God. I'd like to have that kind of relationship with God, that kind of faith, amen, that God would listen to what I say. Now, I could get lost on that right there, and I don't want to tonight, but when God listens to a man, it's because a man has enough God consciousness. He knows what to pray for and how to pray. If you want God to listen to you, don't be praying, God, put $1 million in your bank account. Pray about things that matter to God. And so Moses descends off the mountain. He sees how bad things are. And a good man of God does what Moses did. He got angry. He threw a fit and he begins to clean things up. And he goes back to God, stands once again as an intercessor. In verse 30, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. Now I will go up unto the Lord peradventure. I will make an atonement for your sin.
Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Amen. You know what? There's a hidden part to this ministry that the saints usually don't see. I know the world would paint a picture as we're just a bunch of tithe-craving, whore-mongering, slave-driving men, amen. But you don't understand the hours behind the scenes, and you don't see the tears shed, amen, when they're all by themselves praying, "God, help this saint not make a bad decision. Lord, help this man, help this woman." You don't see the hours of intense labor and prayer and the days that go by in fasting, amen, praying for people that a good man of God loves, amen. Thank God for your pastor. And so, amen, we'll get through this tonight. It may be a little slow. Moses was an intercessor for the people of God. But before Moses was a great intercessor, we read about another intercessor by the name of Abraham, a man that had a tremendous walk with God, relationship with God. God, again, was getting ready to wipe Sodom and Gomorrah off the face of the earth. But before he did it, he went looking for an intercessor. And the Lord said in Genesis 18:17, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" So Abraham goes into position. In verse 23, Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" I'm going to try not to get lost in a lot of rabbit trails tonight, but notice, and Abraham drew near. Intercessors are people that walk close with God. I'm going to tell you what, there's a whole lot in our world right now that can drive a wedge between us and God. I know that there's a great, great dilemma among preachers about where do we stand on certain issues. And I wish it was just television. And I wish it was just video. But now we've got the internet and all of the nuances and the things of the internet. And so now we've got to kind of decide, and this is just Brother Green today, I believe in giving a man liberty to pastor his church the way he feels necessary. Amen. I don't believe we should divide the body because one man believes it just like this, another man believes it maybe not like this. And I'm just going to say this. If another pastor tries to tell you that your church is wrong because they don't believe it exactly as somebody else believes it, or as your church believes it, they are wrong. They are wrong. Amen. If you don't believe in giving your kid candy, and I give my kid candy once a week, don't mean I'm a bad parent and that you're a perfect parent. We'll never see eye to eye on everything. But I believe every pastor's got to draw the line where he thinks it's safe for his congregation. Amen. And so we've got all these things in life, and whether we agree or disagree, and whether we all believe that this is wrong or it's not, the bottom line is, amen, a lot of this stuff is nothing more than take up valuable time. And we spend a whole lot of time, less time praying, because we're so bogged down with the things of life. We're working and we're taking care of family and we're spending time on the internet and we're involved in a social media world and we're checking the news and we're just so busy. Thank God for men that still want to draw near unto God and walk with God and be in tune with the mind of God. There's some things not in my life because I'm scared of how they will distract me in my walk with God. Maybe Maybe I'll get done tonight. I promise I'll get done. But maybe we shouldn't be asking, is this right or wrong? Is it sin or not? Maybe we should be asking, is this going to help me or hurt me? And just because your pastor says, well, I think this will be all right and we'll let this come in the church and involved in your life. Even though he says that, if you can't control it, you don't need that. Somewhere we've got to save ourselves. Well, praise the Lord. God wants a church that's willing to lay aside the weights and lay aside the sins and be willing to draw nigh unto him. He said, if you'll draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Where's the church that's willing to walk close with their God? Well, praise the Lord. It don't take much commitment to run the aisles. It don't take much commitment to sing a good song or play a piano. But it takes commitment to have a walk with God and to pray every day and to pray by the hour and to pray all night long. Amen. It may be a lot more oh me's than amens tonight, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm preaching to me, amen. I'm not the authority on this, I promise you. I remember one day preaching on a Sunday morning, amen, and I don't remember what I was preaching about. It may be along these lines, but I remember that pastor, when I got done, it was one of those services where, man, I didn't feel like I dropped my watermelon. It kind of was a good service, and when the pastor got done, he started talking some old-time stories about the way elders used to pray and have church till late in the night, and they'd pray till 2 in the morning after revival service and back up at 5 a.m. to plow the fields all day long. He told story after story after miracle example after example, and when he got done, this little feel-good preacher was ready to crawl under the pulpit and hide. And I'm telling you, I wish I had a whole book of stories. I'd read them. Because I'm going to tell you what, we are a prayerless generation. We've got more talent, we've got more abilities, we've got more money, we've got more conveniences, we've got more programs, we've got carpet and padded pews and AC and heat. We get all these modern advancements, and yet we don't walk nearly as close with God as a generation that got us to this point. We wonder why our altars are bare. And Abraham drew near, and he began to intercede. Peradventure, if there be 50, will you spare? If there be 40. He goes on down the list, 45, 40, 30. I'm going to lean on your knowledge of the scripture tonight. And he says, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. What Abraham was really driving at was, Lord, I've got a nephew sitting in the gates over there. Please don't kill my nephew. Please don't kill my family. Please, I'm interceding, spare my family. I'm interceding, spare my family. I want to drive that point for a reason tonight. I'm interceding for specific people. I'm praying about a specific need. I'm talking to you, God. I'm drawing nigh unto you. This is not some dead, dry, boring prayer meeting. This is my heart talking to the heartbeat of God. I'm on a mission tonight. I'm on a spiritual journey tonight, God. I'm interceding for a specific situation. So the Bible said there came two angels to Sodom at even. The judgments of God were quickly approaching. All were going to die. Everyone except Lot and his family. Why? Because between the wrath of God and this family was an intercessor saying, God, spare Lot, spare his wife, spare the family. And the Bible said when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men, the angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Amen. And they said, escape for thy life. Here's a man that was stuck in the valley of decision. Can I say it like this? A man on the bar stool that couldn't make up his mind whether to live a life of sin or go find God somewhere. Here's a man in the gutters of sin, bound by drugs, trying to decide, do I stay here or go find help somewhere? And God sent two angels to literally grab a hold of their hands and help them make the right decision and drag them out of a place of God's wrath unto a place of safety. Why? A man said, God, I'm interceding on behalf of a man that needs your help. I'm telling you, there is a place that we can get in God. Well, we say, all right, God, I've got a lost loved one. God, there's backsliders in this city. They know better, God. They know better, God. There's people right now in the valley of decision that God's stirring them up. And they know, I need to go back to church, but I just can't do it. I believe we've got the power to pray, all right, God, send forth your angels in Jesus' name and literally compel them and drag them back home. You know what I'm doing? I'm being the intercessor that God called me to be. Oh, let's love the Lord together. Come on. Hallelujah. And a man was spared the wrath of God because a man said, I'll be more than just a shepherd. I'll be more than just a neighbor. I'll be more than just a friend. I'll be more than just an uncle. I'm going to God in deep prayer. And I'm praying as long as it takes. Somewhere I'm going to get along with God in God's holy throne room and pray. I'm going to shut the world out. I'm going to shut the world out and be an intercessor because I refuse to let my city go to hell. I refuse to let this old world bind my loved ones. I refuse to let my lost loved ones go to hell. I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm digging in. The scripture came to me tonight before church, and I know you could debate about what Job was talking about here, and that's not my point. But Job said, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eye hath not seen, the lion's whelp hath not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. Please give me a little liberty tonight. I hope I'm not taking this out of context, but Job's talking about a place that's completely unfamiliar to a lot of creatures. God told Moses, when he said, show me thy glory, he said, there is a place by me. Come on up, son. Come on up higher. I felt it in prayer Monday that there's a call from a higher place. It says, you can't just stay down here where you're at. There are no good churches until, amen, they become intercessor churches. You look at every great church, it's filled with intercessors. You see every tremendous ministry, behind it somewhere is a power of intercessory prayer. Every great harvest, every great revival, every great breakthrough, somebody got on their face all alone with God, where lions whelp hasn't trodden, the vulture's eye hadn't seen it. Somewhere a man and God all by themselves, and a man saying, God, you gotta hear my voice. You gotta hear my prayer. I'm interceding for the will of God to be done in my church. Somewhere, someone has to stand between a sinner and the judgments of God. Not willing to accept the way things are, but willing to do everything they can to change things. For the saving of a soul, the glory of God. I heard a story a man told many, many years ago. Maybe you've heard it. It's an old story. He was driving down an old country road. He stopped because a house was on fire. And he got out to see what was going on. The old house was up in flames. And there was a man standing there, his arm around his wife, several other men, probably area farmers that were there that saw the flames had come to help. And they say, this is a story he told. He said one parent looked at the other parent and said, "Where's the baby?" And he said, "I thought you had the baby." And when she realized the baby was in that inferno, he said she was a little frail woman. It took 5 grown men to pin her to the ground in the mud to keep her from running inside that house to get that baby. This was his point. If we really believed our loved ones were going to go to that kind of a hell, you couldn't keep us out of the throne room. I'm telling you, you want to see revival break loose in this church, in this city. We've preached about preaching. We've preached about helping the preacher preach. We've preached about shouting and dancing and bring. And I thank God for this church's tremendous response. But there's another area the Holy Ghost is kind of directing us to tonight that says, I'm ready for a man to push the plate back. I'm ready for a woman to get lost in a prayer closet and take you a box of Kleenexes and say, God, I'm here for as long as it takes. And I'm going to pray in the spirit. I'm going to get lost in another world. I'm going to get an audience with my God and draw near unto God and pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Holy Ghost and pray about the things of God. Pray about the will of God. Pray about the church that God bled and died for. I want to be the great intercessor that God wants me to be. I may never sing, I may never play, never teach Sunday school, but bless God, I can get along with God and pray the power of God down. I can pray the anointing down. I can dispatch angels. I can be the intercessor that Abraham was, that Moses was, and see revival break loose in my church. The sad reality is, intercessors are becoming fewer and far between. I'm sorry, folks. It's where we're at. The moaning, the groaning, that pain that comes with intercessory prayer. It takes time. You don't get that in just a few minutes praying. You don't get that. You don't get that a lot of times, just 30 minutes. And thank God for the times, and I don't get ahead of myself here, but thank God when it comes quickly. And it's a special place. And any time I go there, I've learned to be very, 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 very thankful to God for allowing me to enter that place I'm talking about tonight. But I'm talking about deep prayer. I'm talking about you feel like your body's going to explode. It's being ripped apart. I mean, when you pray, there's an anointing on you like an anointed man of God preaching the best sermon of his life. I'm talking about that deep praying where you know devils are backing up and angels are sharpening their swords, where you know when you get done, God's up to something big. I'm a part of it, and you know something good is about to happen. But it takes a willing heart. It takes some time. It takes pushing the world back.
Takes not being so burdened down with the cares of this life, striving for this beautiful place. I want to go to this land of intercessory prayer. May I boldly remind us all tonight that while we're sleeping in our beds of spiritual prosperity, while we're getting spiritually fat off the good word of God that's for us, our four no more, week after week after week, that there's another drug addict slipped into eternity because they OD'd. That nobody sent two angels to find. We enjoy the good word of God and the blessings of God and shouting because we know this truth and we've got the blood, we've got the name. There's a kid being molested. There's another murder-suicide. There's a world falling apart. Another depressed man that succumbed to suicidal pressures. And while we're running and shouting and dancing, these are the trophies that hell acquired from this city. While we licked our proverbial fingers and declared how good God's been to us. There's a world being destroyed. Amen. While we sleep, amen, in church pews. Depression and tragedy are not the only things that these have in common. But a burning lake of fire is what awaits them. They each share a damnable fact. There's something missing in their lives. It didn't have to end this way. The story could have been different. Maybe it would have. If somebody would have said, God, let me be the intercessor. I believe in outreach. I believe in knocking doors, passing out cards, inviting people to church. But if I had to choose one thing above all else, I'd take a church full of intercessors. Men and women that are willing to walk in this church. What? Hey, folks, listen. Ask you a question. It's heavy, but I was going to go a little deeper here. What happened to all-night prayer meetings? That's how far we have progressed or digressed. What happened? I remember in the church one time when my wife was expecting our son. My in-laws lived in Houston area. And I settled them down for a few months, a little while there in Houston. And I kept traveling. I remember there were some pretty serious prayer warriors in this church. I remember nights my wife would leave the house and then my kids got involved. It was just a bunch of ladies. And they'd go to the church around 9 o'clock at night. They'd pray. Oh, they'd pray. And it got to where, brother, it was powerful. And sometimes she'd come home at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Do you know the spiritual benefits that come out
of that right there, of some hungry ladies. And I was understanding. Yeah, maybe she had to sleep in a little bit on Saturday morning. Maybe I had to do a few things to help her out a little bit. But she was going praying half the night. My kids were going there. My kids were getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. My God. I'm telling you, we don't hear a lot preached like this anymore. And I'm as guilty as anybody else. And I thank God he laid this burden on my heart. But I'm telling you, we're not seeing all the things we could be seeing. We're content to live. Can I say it like this? We're content to live on food stamps. When God's got buckets full of blessings. Because at best, we give a little. Now I lay me down to sleep prayer 15 minutes every night. And we think, well, God, I kind of clocked in and I kind of clocked out. And we wonder why our altars are bare. We wonder why there's no disturbance in the baptismal tank. We wonder why, amen, there's no need for a new convert class. We wonder why, amen, it's such a shock when there's a visitor here tonight. Wow, there's somebody praying for the Holy Ghost. Wow, is that the kind of church that God bled and died for? I pray now. Not, amen. He died and envisioned a church. The altars did not stay barren. The womb of the church was not barren. But I believe, amen, more times than not, somebody's praying in the altar for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The waters of revival are being stirred week in and week out. What brings that? Not just a good name, not just good talent, but somewhere a man, a woman, a family got along with God and said, God, shake my city. Paul said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I got a lot I could say tonight, and I don't want to lose my crowd, but Ezekiel said, God sought for a man. God, what are you looking for tonight? I'm looking for a man, a woman, a teenager. We are so guilty of what can the church do for me? Can I stay on that for just a second tonight? We are so guilty. What can this church do for me? Well, the youth group ain't big enough. Or the singles ministry is not big enough. The choir is not big enough. The platform is not big enough. We need this program. We need that. We need this. We need that. What can the church do for me? What are you doing for the church? What are you doing for this revival? I'm going to tell you what. Most of the time, the church is not the problem. We're the problem. If we don't have what we need, it's our fault. Don't blame the devil. And God's waiting, ready. He just wants somebody to get in position and break this thing loose in the Spirit and pray and get intercede and quit coming to church with a handout saying, God, can bless me here now. I'm here, God. I showed up. Give me something. Come on, preacher. Entertain me. Come on, pastor. Come on. Come on, singers. It better be a good song. Come on. Give me. We can just soak it all up. We've invested nothing in the work of God. That's why I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. People get mad and leave the church and go across town or go somewhere else because the grass is always greener on the other side. Can I tell you what? A church is a church is a church. You got to change. A lot of times you're dry. You're carnal. You ain't prayed through in a long time. God said, I sought for a man. I'm not coming today to see what I can get out of this. God, I'm coming to invest. I'm trying to pour myself into this work. Amen. I'm closing. We're in trouble in Pentecost when the cares of life mean more to us than the work of God. Our churches are in trouble when all we do is simply maintain. Many years ago, I had a pastor tell me, he said, "Son, boy, you better always be praying through, because you're always going to have somebody backsliding, being stupid." I've seen that since he told me that many years ago, over and over and over again. If all we try to do is just maintain what we have, boy, it's quiet here tonight. I know y'all don't expect this tonight. Amen. But if all we do is just try to maintain, we're not being the church that God wants us to be. Amen. When we're satisfied with our little way of doing things and God can't redirect our steps, something's wrong. When we're not deeply troubled about how bare our altars are and how quiet the baptistry remains, something's wrong, friend. When there's not people on our pews that still don't have it all down perfect. I heard a man say this one time, and I know what he meant, and I believe it. He said, "I hope I've always got television in my church. Hope I've always got somebody smells like cigarettes and booze and drugs." As an evangelist, I get so tired of preaching to the same saints night after night after night after night. It's like, how long do you polish this thing? How long do you feed the same crowd? I'd love to preach to a new convert. I'd love to preach to a sinner. Amen. Whoa, God. When do we get all shook up and all stirred up? Because there's not more backsliders coming home and not more sinners in the altar. Who do we blame? The pastor, his wife, the devil? It ought to be our fault. Hey! Don't be some $8 an hour employee that don't care and blames everybody else. You want to say, "This is my church, my God, my revival. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do my part." Come on, sister. Let's lift our hands and let's love the Lord together. Come on. Oh, God, let it be me. Be seated for just another moment. In 2006, I was about an hour and a half north of Seattle, Washington Revival. I was way up there by Canada. I got a call on a Sunday morning, early. "Brother Greens, Brother so-and-so, I'm resigning the church today. If you want it, it's yours." Boy, that'll wake you up. It was early. I was 2 hours behind him. I said, "Brother, can we start over? Do what?" He wasn't playing. He said, "I'm resigning today. If you want it, it's yours. If not, then he..." Anyway, long story short, we ended up going there and taking the church. That man walked away that day. He resigned from his church. He walked down on his wife, his church, his family. He left God, still backslid today. He burnt out. So this church hadn't been right in a couple years. It was tough. We preached several revivals there through the years. And so we went, little group of people that were hurt and wounded, and God was so kind to us, and God started turning that thing around. And I never forget one night, hadn't been there that long, none of the young people had the Holy Ghost in that church. I will say I give God praise. By the time one night I looked at our house, we went from no young people to 20 young people full of the Holy Ghost, and the church only ran about 50, and 20 of them were young people. but I never forget, there was a young man. In fact, I told my wife, I said, "You weren't here," but I said, "This guy here reminds me so much of this guy I'm talking about. His name was Jordan." And we had prayer meeting one night. It was that one of them nights when, I mean, intercessory prayer got on me. And it's just, that's when, you know, I was new there, and the church was, they prayed about kind of like y'all sound right now. It was quiet. And that's when that old devil gets in your back and intimidation. But, man, it was on me. As one time, I just thumped that devil off, and I got lost in, I'm talking about, if you thought somebody was plunging a knife in my ribs, it was that moaning and that groaning and that, oh, but it was a beautiful experience. I never forget finally getting my off that carpet. I went to the pulpit to dismiss prayer meeting that night, and everybody was leaving. And that young man that had been raised in church all his life walked up to me and said, "Okay, Brother Green, I want to know, what was that?" I said, "Jordan, you got to be kidding me. You have no idea. I ain't never heard anything like that all my life. You've been raised in church all your life, and you don't know what intercessory prayer is? I'm going to tell you what, saints, if you got the Holy Ghost, and God's, if you never let God take you to that place, you have no, I can't even put words to describe the experience. Getting the Holy Ghost is beautiful. But I'm going to tell you what, just to me, that doesn't compare to me, to that secret place that God says, come on in. It's just me and you, son. And I'm telling you, there is such a, almost a violence there. I can't even put words around it tonight, what I'm trying to say. But it hurt me that this young man had been raised all of his life and never heard somebody get on the floor and weep and moan and groan and almost speak violently in tongues and do spiritual battle, amen. I'm going to tell you what, if we're not careful, church, we're going to raise a generation that has no idea it happened, amen, in Joshua. And there arose another generation which knew not the Lord, the works he had done for Israel. We're going to raise a generation that knows how to sing like a charismatic. Do their little juke and jive and wear their little funny socks. Their little queer hairdos. Little soft Pentecostals. And never know what it's like to get the floor. And like Jacob wrestled with an angel. And weep and moan and groan in the Holy Ghost. I remember as a teenage boy, the first time it ever came upon me, amen, and I felt like God was pushing me through that carpet that night as a young teenager. That was the night that God did something in my life. I'm going to tell you what, young men, you better strive for it. You want to be a preacher, you better learn to be a prayer warrior. You want God to use you, learn to get lost in prayer, friend. Somewhere, America, we've got to pay the price. Oh, let's pray right now. Come on. I feel a call to a higher place tonight. I'm not preaching down to you tonight, saints. I promise you, I'm trying to lift you up. I'm trying to lift you to a place of honor tonight. A call of heaven tonight. God searching for a man to fill the gap. Oh. Would you stand with me tonight? Two things to say and I'm done. Two things to say. Two more things to say and I'm done. In that same pastorate, I was out of town. I was having to work a side job to make ends meet. In fact, one time I was about almost working three jobs trying to make ends meet. And I was staying in a very shady hotel. Around 1 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock on my door. A strange woman screaming, "Open the door, let me in, let me in, hurry, they're after me, let me in." And I refused. I actually tried to talk for a second, refused. And By the time I got around to look out the curtain, amen, she was jumping the car leaving, but there were some guys with her. She was not in trouble. The next night, oh God, it makes me weep talking about it. A sister in my church said, Brother Green, I don't know what's going on in your world last night, but around 1 o'clock in the morning, God woke me up and I got to intercede for you. Here is a man that's in danger. And thank God for somebody that was in tune with God, that God could say, hey, wake up, pray now, pray. And they got lost in intercessory prayer. God needs some soldiers like that. I'm going to tell you where this little message was birthed. Back exactly 4 years ago, I was preaching revival in Crossett, Arkansas. And Sunday, February the 2nd, 2014, a very famous actor OD'd on heroin. It had been in the paper for 3 days. It was a huge story. On Monday, February the 3rd, 2014, a 37-year-old mom of two OD'd as well. And it barely made the small paper. Nobody cared. But I did that day because it affected me. The first didn't faze me that much, another Hollywood tragedy. But here's a little woman that died in the city I'm holding revival in. And yet she went to hell, and I had to say, God, were you trying to get me to pray for her and I wasn't in tune, God? I'm telling you, God wants some intercessors. God can do great exploits. God can shake this city. God can fill this building and another one twice this size. If God could find some intercessors, I'm so tired of the lie that nobody wants it. We got to water this message down. Amen. We've got to change some things. We need some programs. We need choirs and we need a gymnasium. We need all. No, God don't need all that. Thank God for it. It's got its place and they're nice. But what God needs is a man to fill the gap. Some young ladies, some young men to say, God, I think I want to be a prayer warrior. What do you want to be when you grow up? I think, for starters, I want to be a prayer warrior. Oh, the beauty of a dad, of a man grabbing his wife and getting their kids. Say, where are we going, Dad? We're going to the church. We're going to pray. We're going to get lost in God. Amen. The beauty of a dad taking his boy and saying, come on, son, get down beside me. We're going to pray together. And a boy learning how to pray because he heard his daddy praying. It's what I want. It's what I want. Monday afternoon, I laid between the pews, and Kip laid this way, and his head was here, and my head was here, and his hand reached up, grabbed my hand. We were praying. That's what I want him to be, as a prayer warrior. And he got to walking back and forth, and I know he's only 4, and I finally said, son, you ready to go? He said, no, Dad, I won't pray a little longer. I said, okay. So we prayed some more. I said, son, you ready to go? He said, no, I think I'll stay a little longer, Dad. I have no greater joy than know that my children walk in truth. I want my kids to be prayer warriors. But if their daddy's not, then what chance do they have? Come on, I'm saying it again, I'm not preaching down to us tonight. I'm trying to lift us up to a high place. Come on, there's a place by the Lord that God's calling some of you. Come on, is anybody willing to step out and say, I'll be the one? God, I'm gonna commit myself, God, to seek your face, to draw near unto you. I know we're not running and shouting tonight, but we'll see the effects of this service if we'll just do what God's calling us to do. I promise you, We'll see the fruit of our labors, I promise you. We'll see revival. There'll be babies born again, I promise you, if we'll just respond to the word of the Lord. Catch that burden tonight. Come on, saints. Come on, saints. There's a call up. That's it. Come on, young men. Come on, there's a call, young men. There's a call tonight. Does anybody want to stand in that gap and pray? Come on, even so tonight, this very night, God, could let you feel that holy touch tonight. Somebody open up your spirit and say, God, I accept it. I receive it. I receive it. Come on, that's it, that's it, that's it. Power. Come on down, power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, that's it. Is anybody willing to open up and be that vessel that God can use? Come on, it's time to quit murmuring and quit complaining and quit backbiting and get back to old time praying, seeking the face of God. Use me. Use me. Use me. Use me, God. Take me there, Jesus. Take me there, Jesus. I'm willing to go. I accept the challenge. I accept the call. Yes! 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 I'll be the vessel. I'll be the man tonight. Come on, ladies. That's it. Come on, ladies. There's a place, a secret place, a holy place. Come on, that's it. That's it. That's it. Where tears run like rivers. Where the soul of a man entertains the heartbeat of God. Come on. It's available tonight. Moanings and groanings that cannot be uttered. Is anybody willing to go there? Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Fall on me, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me, take my hands, take my feet, use me, Lord, for your glory. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anoint.
Hallelujah. Come on, are you praying? Are you telling God, God, I'll go there. God, if you want to lean on me, if you want to use me, if you want to call on me, I'm willing to go there. You got to be willing to swallow your pride, swallow your fear. Come on, it may be in the middle of a church service. It may be in the middle of a dead, quiet prayer meeting. Are you willing to go there to step out and be a vessel God can use? Hallelujah. 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 Woo. Oh, yes, Jesus.
Fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
Come on, one more time. Let's lift our voices, church. Come on, the Holy Ghost is dealing with hearts tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Fall on me.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost
fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
Come on, if it's appropriate, why don't you reach over and pray for that one that's beside you? Come on, why don't you join with somebody? There's power in this tonight. Join with somebody beside you. There's power in this tonight. Link up with somebody. God, we're going. You said my house shall be called a house of prayer. This shall be known as a house of prayer. Yeah. Praying without ceasing. Come on. I'm going to be a man of prayer. A lady of prayer. A young person of prayer. A house of prayer. Fervent praying. Walking with God. Drawing near unto Him.
Woo! Use me.
Oh,
Lord,
yes, Jesus.
For your glory.
Power, Lord.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing.
Come on, that's it. One more time. One more time. That's it. Come on. Yeah, yeah. Somebody feels the call. Somebody's heeding the call tonight. I'm going there. I'm determined. I'll be the soul. To shake my city.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Fall on me, anointing. Fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me.
Jesus. I'm telling you, there is a call of God in this church tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, there's a place by the Lord. Somebody's climbing a mountain already. Hallelujah. I want to go to that place. Yeah. Come on, this is where angels can be dispatched. Demons have to back away. God. Io torremo sciondo remanda rile le mondo remo sianda la namo condo remaha. Iere le mando rimo sondo lolomo condo rimi ando nandi andana maha. I canto rima sando rimi lo yondo lolomo yanda yanda yamaha. Jesus, come on. There's no age limits on this. Hallelujah. Whosoever will come, let him come. The door is wide open. Hallelujah. Yes. That's it. Come on. I'm walking through. There's no turning around. There's no going back.